Welcome to this little bonus episode of Just the Discs. My name is Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. So being that I'm coming to the end of my first year of doing the show, I'm not going to be at a year for a little bit yet in terms of the actual start date of the show, but being that 2017 has been the year of Just the Discs for me, I thought it might be interesting to talk about some of my favorite discs from the year. But I should first preface by saying the way that I do this sort of list may not be ideal to some folks, because I'm sure a lot of people buy their Blu-rays or determine what they're going to pick up based on, you know, the overall package, special features, movie quality, that kind of thing. For me, it's really about the movie, first and foremost. And the movies that I want to have on my shelf are the ones that I'm going to come back to over and over again. A decent movie with great special features is not that appealing to me, ultimately. I really just want the movies I want. So what we're going to get here is basically a list of movies that I love that happen to have gotten nice Blu-ray releases this year. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt. You know, some of these discs may have great features, and some might not have anything, but all the movies I'm going to mention are movies that I like very much. So, that's what we're going to have here. All right, I'm just going to go alphabetically. It's in no particular number order, really. And this list kind of is drawn from my yearly Film Geek Holiday Gift Guide that I do over at Rupert Pupkin Speaks. Definitely go check that out. There's a whole lot more movies on that list than I can name here. I basically boil it down to about 15 and then a small honorable mention group. One quick thing I should mention before I start here is that there will be no Criterion Collection releases on my list. And I mean, no offense to anyone with that, but I love Criterion and they put out some great discs this year, but I feel like everybody is aware of their stuff and you don't really need me to point them out. So these are going to be mostly from somewhat smaller labels or labels that I don't feel like have the cachet with film fans that Criterion does. So please don't, you know, write to me about what, no Criterions, because I felt like I only had a certain amount of room for titles here, and Criterion is great. I think we can all agree that their discs are fantastic. So I just decided to leave them off this year. Maybe next year I'll put them on. I don't know, but that's just the whim I was going off of here. So my apologies. Enjoy the list anyway. So I'm going to start with a label that gets a lot of mention on this list, and that's Warner Archive. They, as I've said on the show, really do good work in terms of the quality of the transfers that they put out. They take a lot of time and care, and as far as that stuff goes, I put them up there with Criterion or whoever in terms of the look of the movies. So that makes them a really big deal to me. They put out a lot of good movies that I like, and they look good. The features, it varies. A lot of them are brought over from the DVD releases, if those had features, but like I said, it's not as important to me sometimes if it's a movie that I love. So I'll start with Bad Day at Black Rock, John Sturges' movie.
There aren't many towns like this in America, but one town like it is enough. And because I think something kind of bad happened to him, something they can't quite seem to find a handle to.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I know this much. The rule of law has left here and the guerrillas have taken over.
Somebody's always looking for something in this part of the West. This place is our West, and I wish they'd leave us alone.
I swear you're beginning to make me mad.
All strangers do.
Well, they don't. No. Some do when they come around snooping.
Looking for what?
I don't know. Outsiders coming in looking for something.
Looking for what?
I don't know.
Which came out in January, I think, of 2017. And it's a really great little movie. I mean, Spencer Tracy plays a guy going to a small town to investigate or try and find somebody, and the townspeople don't necessarily want him to do so. And it's got a really incredible supporting cast with Robert Ryan and Ernest Borgnine and Lee Marvin. Really neat. Very happy that this one got picked up. And there's a ton from Warner Archive on this list, like I said, so I'll keep going. I mean, this will just be a little short mentions of the titles, and, you know, you can decide to check these out or not. Next up is another Warner Archive, just alphabetically, and that's The Ballad of Cable Hogue.
Lord.
Listen to me! Listen to me. Careful now. You're about to get my dander up.
Cable Hogue says, ask, and ye shall receive. Cable Hogue says, seek, and ye shall find. Cable Hogue says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Cable Hogue, a rugged breed, the pioneer.
Sam Peckinpah movie with Jason Robards and the lovely Stella Stevens and David Warner. Yeah, it's just this like drifter hobo type guy accidentally stumbles onto this water spring and creates his own profitable way station kind of in the middle of the desert. That's the basic plot, but I don't know, it's just one of those that there's a lot more going on in it than can be summarized. And just a great character piece, great performance by Jason Robards. Maybe my favorite Peckinpah. I mean, I love Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. I love, you know, some of his sort of lesser champion stuff, but Cable Hogue is pretty great, and even Joe Dante agrees it's good stuff.
Hi, I'm Joe Dante. This is Trailers from Hell. Today's trailer is for my favorite Sam Peckinpah movie, and his too. It's The Ballad of Cable Hogue, starring Jason Robards and Stella Stevens, a picture that means a lot to me and to a lot of us who saw it when it was new, although there weren't many of us. And hopefully we can maybe scare up a few more by talking about this trailer. This script was given to Sam Peckinpah by Warren Oates, who had hoped to play the lead. Now, I'm as big a Warren Oates fan as the next guy, but Ballad of Cable Hogue is unthinkable without Jason Robards, who is brilliant in this, as Cable Hogue, the desert rat who is bushwhacked by his former partners, left to die in the wilderness, discovers water where it wasn't, and creates his own outpost, Cable Springs. It's part adventure, part romance, part Western poetry, and part capitalist allegory. It's a heartbreakingly beautiful film, the most honestly emotional work its prickly complex director ever made, and for me, the most moving.
So next up is one from Arrow, and that is Frank Henenlotter's film Brain Damage from 1988.
It's funny. One night you go to bed, and when you wake up, everything is different. Brian's acting a little peculiar.
He's like a completely different person. I don't even know him anymore.
Something's gotten into him.
Sometimes everything glows with a different kind of light.
Deep into him.
What are you telling me? That we killed someone last night?
Something bad.
Hacky, Brian. Hacky.
Something slimy.
What are you doing?
Something very...
I know something's happened to you.
Very...
The hell is that?
Hungry.
You're mine now, Brian. I own you.
Gotta get out of here fast.
Go where?
You're a wreck, Brian.
Leave me alone!
Whenever you want to stop hurting, you come to me.
Brain damage. It will turn you inside out.
And Henenlotter obviously did, you know, Basket Case and Frankenhooker. I love Basket Case, but Brain Damage is my go-to right now for Henenlotter. I hadn't seen it until 2 years ago, I think, as much as I'd seen the cover 1,000 times of the VHS with the guy's head exploding. But yeah, it's just about a guy that wakes up to find this, like, small, disgusting creature attached to the back of his brain. And the creature gives him, sort of puts him into this euphoric state by squirting chemicals onto his brain. But he demands human victims. So the guy has to kill people. Anyway, it's a cool, you know, kind of old school horror story, but done in a really low budget, awesome way. I mean, it's really fantastic. I love it. Next up is from Twilight Time, another company I love, Chilly Scenes of Winter from 1979.
What do you want? What do I want? I want to marry Laura. That's what I want. I thought everybody knew that.
Charles loves Laura. Laura likes Charles.
I want to sleep with you.
Wait a minute.
Charles would marry Laura tomorrow.
Wait a minute.
But Laura's already married to a guy called Ox.
We talked about this one on the year-end show for Pure Cinema. My co-host, Albert Kane, was able to see the film for the first time via this Blu-ray, which is really exciting for me, and it ended up being his number one discovery of the year, and that's fantastic. It's remarkable. It's a remarkable movie, and I said it on Pure Cinema, but it's one that's difficult to encapsulate because it's basically about a guy who's obsessed with his ex-girlfriend, I guess, but she was married at the time they were dating, and his obsession runs into what would nowadays be considered kind of creepy places, but it's so raw and honest and true, and John Hurt's performance is so real and relatable on some level. I'm not saying I would do all the creepy things he does, and he doesn't do that many creepy things, but he is obsessed. He is truly obsessed with her. Like, can't think about anything else obsessed. And I guess the blind romantic in me sees something endearing about that. But it's really about the performances and just an unconventional love story that ends in an interesting way. So, huge fan. Definitely pick up the Twilight Time Blu-ray of this. Next up, another one from Warner Archive. And this is Freebie and the Bean from 1974.
What was going through your mind?
Indecent exposure? Red Myers? Are you insane?
I bet you got pushed off!
What are you doing?
I'm getting crazy! I'm getting crazy up here!
Intelligence squad?
What were you doing at the Red Coach Motor Lodge last night, lady?
I was at the school meeting.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Your car was at the Red Coach Motor Lodge!
So what?
You apologize about my gun.
You apologize to this!
You apologize about my gun! I apologize about your lip.
You're not fit to guard the fish at the aquarium.
If you had with our help an airtight case against Red Myers,
an indictment in the grand jury,
would that change things, sir?
Airtight.
For indecent exposure.
One of the great buddy cop films ever. And I did a little show on this one with Rob Hunter, who is also a big fan of it. He's a critic for Film School Rejects. Go back and check out that episode if you haven't heard it. But yeah, it's just one of those movies that couldn't be made today because it's incredibly un-PC in many ways. There's casual racism. There's a lot of stuff that's just not right about the movie. But the connection between the two characters, between the James Caan and the Alan Arkin character, is genuine, and it's hilarious just the way that they harass each other. You know, they're two cops. Again, another movie about obsession. They're obsessed with, you know, getting one specific criminal, and they go to pretty crazy lengths to do so. But the way that they interact with each other, it's just like an old married couple or something. I don't know. Incredibly entertaining. Has some really great chase scenes in it as well, which Rob brought up on the show when I talked to him about it. It's usually a movie is funny or has good action, rarely both, and especially in this period, and this movie has both things. But if you like buddy cop movies, this is one of the originals, kind of. I'm sure there were incarnations of it before Freebie and the Bean, but it really sort of sets the gold standard for how good a buddy cop film can be. Next up is one from the Vestron video series from Lionsgate. They've been doing a lot of cool stuff. The one that stood out to me, I almost put Parents on the list here. Parents is great too, but I put The Gate on my list.
There is a passageway to the most evil place you can imagine. A gate behind which the demons wait to take back what was once theirs.
I just think it's a really memorable 80s horror movie about, you know, some kids that open up a gateway to hell in their backyard, and these demons come out, and the demons are really well done in this incredibly unsettling stop-motion animation way. And yeah, I just like this movie a lot. It was great to see it get, you know, a quasi-Criterion-level treatment via this Vestron series. If you aren't aware of the series, definitely check out the Vestron video Blu-rays. I think there's about a dozen of them now or so. Very, very cool stuff. Next up is one from Shout Factory Select, another imprint that was blowing my mind this year, and they will come up again a few more times before this list is over. And it's Into the Night from 1985.
Ed Oaken can't sleep. Every day he has breakfast.
Oh, that's Stan.
Every day he goes to work. Every day he comes home.
You're losing your mind, Ed.
One day he comes home early. That night he takes a drive. Diana falls into his life.
With Jeff Goldblum and Michelle Pfeiffer. Very much an After Hours-y kind of thing. If you like After Hours, I think it's a great companion film to it. In fact, I think I mentioned this is another episode I did with Rob Hunter that Edgar Wright programmed Into the Night and After Hours as a couple films that influenced, I want to say, The World's End. This was at the New Beverly around the time that movie came out, and they go really well together. Directed by John Landis, has lots of director cameos, Goldblum, you know, sort of an earlier incarnation, the 80s Goldblum. I feel like the 2000s Goldblum is a little different, but he's really good. And he, I just like that After Hours is the One Crazy Night New York and Into the Night is One Crazy Night LA. And so they really mesh with each other well in that way. So that's from Shout Factory Select. Next up from Olive Films, their signature line seemed to flag a little bit in 2017, but thankfully towards the end of the year, we got a handful of new signature titles, and I hope they continue to do this. This is like their, again, Criterion version. They often don't do a lot of extras on their regular releases. So all of these movies, I think, have been released on Blu-ray without features, and now they're getting, you know, nice slipcases and extras. And anyway, they put out A New Leaf, Elaine May's film with Walter Matthau and herself. And I haven't done an episode on it yet, but I'm planning one. It's great. It's a sort of offbeat comedy about a rich guy played by Walter Matthau who discovers he's out of money and he has to marry somebody rich really quick.
Yes, yes, there's Sharon Hart over there next to Felix.
Does she live with her family?
No, as far as I know, Sharon has no close family. Her husband, Robert Hart, was a cattle baron, I think.
Really?
Oh, Sharon, I'd like you to meet Henry Graham.
I'm a woman, Henry. I want, I need, I desire love.
That is what a woman is born for.
Damn mosquitoes.
No mother, you have no mother, no father, no children, no one at all?
No one at all.
Oh, Henry, how I long to hear another voice, a man's arms. Oh, I am alive. I want to give love. Darling.
No, don't let them out.
And so he ends up finding a woman that is incredibly socially awkward and weird and decides she's going to be the one. And it's sort of about his his plan to murder her and where that goes. And anyway, very dark comedy, but great stuff. And one of my favorite female directors in Elaine May, who also did The Heartbreak Kid and Mikey and Nikki, and she's awesome. So great to see this movie get a deluxe treatment. Next up is Night Moves from Warner Archive.
Well, I think Harry would like me to leave.
Well, I don't think that's necessary.
I think Harry thinks it is.
Harry thinks if you call him Harry one more time, he's going to make you eat that cat.
Gene Hackman. Is Harry Mosby.
Hello, Harry.
In Night Moves.
Oh, come on, take a swing at me, Harry, the way Sam Spade would.
One of my top 10 films of all time. One of the great postmodern film noirs ever. One of the great Gene Hackman performances. He plays Harry Mosby, an ex-football player turned detective who gets put onto the case of finding this aging starlet's daughter, played by Melanie Griffith. And is sort of constantly bumping his head up against the idea of what a detective should do, I guess, based on the movies, based on Sam Spade, based on whoever, and what, in quote, reality he ends up sort of dealing with. Just the idea of it's complicated would be a summation of the movie, you know, character motivations, things you can't possibly answer or that you'll never know, and loose ends that can't be tied up in the way that they would be in a movie. So just a really fantastic film. I was so excited to see it a Blu-ray release. Hats off to Warner Archive. Next up, another Shout Select release. This is the Pink Panther Film Collection. Now, these aren't all great movies. I think there's six of them in this set, but I did watch a bunch of them with my daughter, which was a huge deal to me. I also did a show with her. That was her first appearance on Just the Discs. Go back and listen to that. She's a goofball. But these movies meant a whole lot to me when I was a kid. My family watched them over and over and over, and we still quote certain lines from them. And
does your dear go bad?
No. Oh.
Nice dear guy. I thought you said your dear did not bite.
That is not my dog.
My little sister is nicknamed Kato after one of the characters in the movie. So, they're just a big deal to me. It was nice to see a quality collection of these movies assembled from Shout Select. Another Warner Archive title next, and that's Scarecrow. This is from 1973, I want to say.
You think crows are scared of a scarecrow? Crows are laughing.
Crows are laughing.
That's right. Crows fly by, they see that, makes them laugh.
Behind your tubing! Eat, cantaloupe! You bull-legged rhinoceros!
Behold, the captains of industry. The prospective owners of Maxie's Car Wash, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Maybe Maxie's Car Wash.
Car Wash?
Yeah.
Okay.
For every car, there is dirt.
Another great Gene Hackman performance. A great Al Pacino performance. Basically, two drifters kind of like find each other along the edge of the road, and one of them has just gotten out of prison, and the other is a merchant marine type who is trying to get back to his, I guess, ex-wife that he bailed on to go into the service after she said she was pregnant. He's going to see a son that he's never seen. He's bringing him a present. The convict, played by Gene Hackman, is a very guarded guy, but who has big dreams of a car wash that he wants to put together, and so he invites the Pacino character into that dream, and they sort of travel together and get into trouble, and it has a really heartfelt ending. It's good stuff, really good stuff, and underseen and undervalued, and shot by Vilmos Siegmund, so it's great to have it on Blu-ray. Next up is a straight nostalgia pick. I can't say it's a good movie, but I do lump it in with things like Midnight Madness and other wild, I guess it's a Mad World ripoffs, which I've said on the show, and I stand by it. I just am not a huge fan of that movie, but I like the ripoffs, you know? So this is Scavenger Hunt from 1979.
Okay, guys. Great start, everybody. I like having a good time as much as the next guy, make mine a strawberry daiquiri or peach. What are you guys having, huh?
You got some kind of death wish or something, man? Ain't nobody touched one of our bikes.
No. Oh, you mean outside there. I can explain. Scum. Sorry. Mr. Scum, there's a very good explanation.
How are you?
I wanted to join the Peace Corps ever since... Thank you. Ever since college. Don't let these square threads fool you, you know? Thanks very much. I mean, I've always envied you guys here at, nice to see you too, here at Shea Death, and, I mean, this is where it's at, right? Hanging out here with your buddies. By the way, my handle's Stu. Yeah, you got a real hep scene here, you know what I mean?
Hep scene?
Oh, yes, my man.
So you want to join the Peace Corps, huh?
Scum, I was born to raise hell.
Ever since college.
Even before college, Scummy.
Beat him to death.
Let's talk about it.
Kino Lorber Studio Classics put it out. Incredible ensemble cast of folks trying to get a big share of this... Vincent Price has a cameo. He's like one of the Parker brothers, basically. He had made his living on board games and all these things, and he's died, and he's left his fortune to the potential of being won by his family, his servants, and a few other various folks that have been sort of in his life, and certain, like a cab driver that ended up taking his partner to the wrong place on the day when they had a very serious meeting, which allowed him to take over the company. Anyway, lots of weird folks, but it's a lot of fun. You know, Richard Benjamin, Cloris Leachman, Richard Mazur, Dirk Benedict, Willie Ames, Arnold Schwarzenegger shows up for a second, Tony Randall, Cleavon Little. You know, I mean, it's one of those really big ensemble casts, like the kind you would see in a disaster movie, and it is kind of a disaster of a movie. But it's just them running around, I want to say San Diego, and trying to pick up various items and get them back to these designated areas to gather points, and the person with the most points wins. And anyway, goofy, fun, slapsticky. I like it. Never thought it would get a Blu-ray. Next up, we have Streets of Fire, another Shout Factory Select release.
I'll be coming for her, and I'll be coming for you, too.
Sure you will, and I'll be waiting.
You are about to enter a world unlike any you've ever seen before, where rock and roll is king. The only law is a loaded gun. Where the beautiful...
Stay and see the show, it's really good.
The brutal...
I want Tom Cody.
And the brave all meet.
From now on, it's for real.
In Streets of Fire.
You're lying in your bed and on a Saturday night. You're sweating buckets and it's not even hard.
And a all-time favorite for me. Just a really fantastic fantasy, musical, rockabilly, noir. I mean, it's such an incredible mix of stuff. And just has that wonderful, gritty Walter Hill vibe. It's got Deborah Van Valkenburg from The Warriors. It's got Michael Paré in a decent role for him. Willem Dafoe is one of the most evil characters ever. And, of course, Diane Lane looking as lovely as she ever has, with one of my favorite openings to a movie ever, because the musical performance is so... Inspiring is not the word, but it just gets you jazzed, gets you excited. I love the soundtrack to this movie, and it's one that I've, you know... I play at home all the time on LP. I try to make my daughter watch the movie. One day it will be one of her favorites, along with Xanadu. Anyway, next up is another Shout Factory Select, and that's 3 O'Clock High.
I guess I should have known from the beginning it was going to be one of those days.
His name is...
Jerry Mitchell.
Hi, Jerry.
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 Hi, I'm Jerry Mitchell. I'm with the school paper.
One of my favorite 80s movies of all time, basically High Noon in high school, you know, if you don't know it. Jerry Mitchell is an unlucky kid who is assigned to do an article for the school paper about this new student named Buddy Revelle, who is notoriously a gigantic bully who has never lost a fight, and Jerry ends up getting himself... Let's say he makes a bad impression and thus gets himself set up to fight Buddy in the parking lot at 3 o'clock, and he does his best to try and get out of the fight. But it's incredibly stylized. Phil Juano directed. He was a protege of Spielberg's at the time. And Barry Sonnenfeld was on cinematography, and so it has that crazy wild camera stylishness of, you know, Raising Arizona era Coen Brothers movie. So just great fun, and I've never shown it to someone who didn't like it. Basically, and I've shown it to a lot of people because I've been a fan for a long time. But great to see it get a nice release from Shout Factory Select. They are digging into the Universal catalog with this and Into the Night and others. Streets of Fire, actually. So I hope they continue to do that. Lastly is the cult favorite gang movie, The Wanderers.
Back in 63, there was one kind of music.
Yeah, all right, some rock and roll.
One kind of love.
No, not yet. You know, in a couple minutes, we're going to be naked. Then what?
You got to get me to hospital!
And all kinds of gangs.
If you ever need us, just whistle loud. We'll be there.
Which came out in 1979, I believe the same year as The Warriors. This is a Kino Lorber Studio Classics release and a wonderful deluxe double disc set that has like a preview cut of the movie. It's got all kinds of extras. One of the most stacked discs in my list, actually. But I just love the movie. I would have been all over it without all that. But they really took some time and put a lot of effort into this disc. And if you aren't aware of it, it's about a gang called the Wanderers. And I think it's 1963. And they're sort of dealing with the other gangs in the New York boroughs where they live and, you know, what they might do after high school, and has one of the great openings ever. I just love it. Big, big fan. So those are my top 15 movies that came out on Blu-ray this year that I love and discs I recommend. I have one honorable mention, and that's for the Indicator series label, which I've done a lot of coverage of on the show. They put out a ton of great discs this year, but I want to highlight their Harryhausen sets.
This is Dynamation.
Their Sinbad trilogy plus their Wonderful Worlds of Harryhausen volumes 1 and 2. I recommend all three sets. They're all great. If you're not a fan of Harryhausen, I don't know. These these could be your entry point. You know, you could start with the Sinbad stuff, or you could start with, I would say volume two is maybe my favorite because it has Mysterious Island and Jason and the Argonauts, which is my favorite Harryhausen film. But all the sets are great. The Sinbad set is great. I mean, talk about coming out of the gate strong with a wonderful box set. If you don't know Indicator, check them out, powerhousefilms.co.uk, and they do Criterion-level work with extras, and almost all their discs are region-free. They're getting now into a few releases that are region-locked coming in 2018, but basically everything will play on your region, any region player. You do have to import the discs from either Indicator themselves or Amazon UK, but they're not outlandishly priced considering what you get, and they're well worth importing. So definitely check out Indicator if you haven't. That's really it for me for this. I'll try and make a habit of doing this every year just to give you guys an idea of what are the ones that mean the most to me. But again, hopefully this hasn't been a useless exercise, being that I'm not talking about the extras specifically on any of these discs. Like I said, it really is more about the films and what they mean to me, and they're all very personally special to me for various reasons. So hopefully you maybe found one or two that you didn't already own or didn't know about and want to look into after this episode. But I also just want to say thank you to everyone who's been listening over the first year of the show. It's meant a lot to me to see the show grow since I started, and I've tried to put more care and effort into the show since the first episode. If you go back to the first one and listen to it, it sounds a lot rougher than I would like, but I just sort of evolved the show over time, and I think I've found the place I want it to be at. And anyway, I appreciate everybody that supports the show and listens to it and, you know, talks to me on Twitter about it. You guys all rock. My Blu-ray fiend brethren, have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week, please. And I will talk to you very soon. Bye-bye.